I've got a gold nugget I'd like to share with you. I found it in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. There is, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. A man who is in Christ is one who has been born again into a new walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. To claim that you are in Christ and under no condemnation because you have been redeemed is validated by a walk that indicates your new relationship with God. I know of no gospel in the Bible that offers you salvation from condemnations of your sin that does not, at the same time, demand a radical change of walk, a walk under new management, a revolutionized walk according to an entirely new principle of life. Do you? It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair. In my lesson today, I'm going to be speaking from 10 verses from chapter 1 of the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. I'll be speaking from verse 11 through verse 20. I'm not going to read all of these verses, but I will be referring back to them all through the lesson. If you recall, in verse 10, I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. If you remember, Paul wrote to seven churches. Six of those churches is not mentioned here in the book of Revelation. Paul wrote to the Roman church, to the Corinthian church, to the Galatians, and the Colossians. He wrote to the church of the Thessalonians, the Ephesians, and the Philippians. While Jesus wrote to seven churches, which included Ephesus, plus six more churches in Asia. You know, after reading the letters that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, you would think for sure that Jesus would instruct John to write them a letter also, because the Corinthian church was the one church that had more things going wrong than any other church that Paul wrote to. Corinthians was like a wild bunch. They just threw caution to the wind. They had the opinion, if it feels good, do it. If it feels right, do it. If it makes you happy, carry on. And if people don't like it, don't worry about it. But apparently, Paul's letters did what they were intended to do. It set them straight. It set them in order. He named some sins and some people that was causing problems, and God straightened them out. It's not for us to ask why that Jesus only wrote to seven churches. Maybe it's because these seven churches represented seven groups of people in the body of Christ. Seven different groups with different problems, with different doctrinal problems, facing different afflictions and tribulations. I don't know why God only wrote to seven, but he did. I don't know why Paul wrote to only seven churches, but he did. Paul wrote letters to encourage, to set in order, to rebuke those that were not living right. Paul called sin by its name. He also calls some of those troublemakers by name. Likewise, Jesus wrote these letters to the church in order to encourage them. Some he rebuked. He wanted to set in order. He even called out the names of some of those in the church that was causing the problems, that was preaching the false doctrines. Not only was John directed to send these seven messages to the seven churches, but John was to send the entire body of writings to the seven churches. He was to send what he saw. God told him, "What you see, write in a book, send it to the seven churches which are in Asia." That included everything from the first verse of this book to the last verse of this book. Send it all to them. But in this body of writings, he called out seven particular churches. Now, there are some try to interpret this as being the seven dispensation of the church age. There's no scripture for that. You would have to twist the words of history in order to see it like that. No, sir. This was problems that was taking place in the body of Christ in John's particular day. Some would say, if that be the case, why should we read it today? Because we are still dealing with the same old devil. He's still coming at us with the same old temptations. The devil is still coming to steal, to kill, and destroy. The same problems that was in John's day still exist in the church today. The seven churches, they were seven different groups of people, which they were in different towns, and many of them had different problems. So by John sending the same letter, the same writings to each church, each one of the church that read it got to see the problems that was going on in the other congregation, which would be heads up for them, knowing that they too could be subject to the same sins, the same neglect, the same walking away from the first love, the same Nicolaitans preaching false doctrines, which God hates, the same Jezebel spirit preaching the same Jezebel doctrine, which God hates. Every church is subject to this. Therefore, these letters to the seven groups of people are relevant today to us, because I believe these seven groups of people still exist in the church today. There's still those in the church today that are preaching false doctrines, who say that they are disciples of Christ, and we have found them out to be a liar. Some have wondered, who were those Nicolaitans that preached the doctrine that God hated? Well, I don't know who the Nicolaitans were, but I think that what we should be more concerned about is not who the Nicolaitans were, but who is the Camelites, those that preached the doctrines of Alexander Campbell, Thomas Campbell, Barton Stone, and Walter Scott, who teach a doctrine that God hates, who would teach you that Jesus was not God, who would teach you that Jesus was a deceiver and a liar and a fake. They would tell you that Jesus did not have the power to forgive sins while he walked here on this earth, even though Jesus said he did. Jesus says the Son of Man has power to forgive sin on the earth also. But they would deny this is true. They would tell us that Jesus had not the authority to forgive sin. You know why I believe that Jesus had the authority to forgive sin? because I believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. Don't you? I also believe that God is sovereign. He can do whatever He chooses to do. I believe that God had been forgiven sin long before Jesus was born. I believe that the Old Testament saints had been forgiven of their sins. I believe that Adam and Eve found forgiveness for their disobedience. I believe that the prophets all through the Bible had been forgiven of all of their sins. Friend, Jesus was sovereign. He received His sovereign authority from God the Father. He was able to do whatsoever the will of the Father was. He had that authority. At one time He says, "All power is given to Me in heaven and on earth." All power. What does the word "all" include in this statement? It includes all power.